Blog Talk Radio.
It's the book everybody's talking about. Acclaimed author Clark Garrison lays it all on the line in his new book on how to survive the next 365. With real-life accounts of success and failure. And it's not only Clark Garrison's story, but it's yours as well. Order your book today at SurviveTheNext365.com. And now, tune in bi-weekly to find out how you can discover the unique journey that you possess, along with the greatness in you. Join author Clark Garrison on Blog Talk Radio bi-weekly to help you figure out your personal blueprint on surviving the next 365. Learn the art of believing in the power within you with Clark Garrison. It's the hottest book on the planet, How to Survive the Next 365 by Clark Garrison. Order your book online now at SurviveTheNext365.com or call 866-642-9125 and tell them to rush your order by author Clark Garrison on How to Survive the Next 365.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Bring it on. I like that bit.
You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, The Conversation.
That's tight.
And I am your host, author D.K. Garrison, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Man, it's a pretty day today. I wish you were here. We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just in case you didn't know, this show is based on the need to provide America with a dose of positive energy. I want to thank you for tuning in today on this lovely day. And if you're listening via internet and you'd like to ask any of our guests today any questions, feel free to dial this number. That number is 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. Once again, the chat room is open. Feel free to hang out in there. Just a couple housekeeping notes. Again, if you're on the internet looking and listening to the show, do me a favor. On our homepage, go ahead and select the tweet and share button for this show. Help promote it for us, if you would be so kind. Ladies and gents, our guest this afternoon is the talented Salakita Kali. If you have any, absolutely any questions, be sure to give us a call or stop by our chat room and post your questions. I'll be sure to ask our guests. Hopefully coming up next will be no stranger to our show, Mr. Manifest Raw. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is probably a perfect Sunday afternoon here in Hot Atlanta, U.S. of A. So if you're not here in Atlanta, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm going to talk a little bit about some upcoming events, if you don't mind. February 26th. We've been talking about it all month at the Highland Cigar Company, hosted by none other than Survive 365 and Foetic, will be The Art of Being a Gentleman. And that's going to be from 12 to 2, a two-hour showing. First of all, it is free. It is free. Let me repeat, it is free. However, we would appreciate if you do some RSVP on that so we can have a head count. We do have a limited, very limited space and seating. Going to learn a lot of things there, least of not all, the art of being a gentleman. How about that? We're going to talk about, we're going to have a cobbler come in and talk about the shoes that a gentleman wears, how to select proper shoes for yourself that'll last more than 3 months. Also, how to pick out bespoke tailored suits, the advantages of those things. We're going to have somebody come in and talk about spirits and cigars. We're just going to have a good time. This is volume one of volume four. So come on out, RSVP that for me. You can hit me up on Facebook at Clark Garrison. Just let me know you want to be involved. Or you can call 866-642-9125. All right? Now, next month we're launching the Survive 365 journey, which will culminate to the actual tour beginning in April. So I want you all to do me a huge favor. Do me a favor and go by that Facebook fan page. It's D, capital D, K, Garrison. That's my fan page. Go ahead and like me if you would. I want to be liked. And also follow us on Twitter at Survive365. This way you can kind of keep up with the Survive365 journey. We're always looking to collaborate with you guys out there. Matters not what city. We're going to pretty much cover the entire United States before the end of the year. So we hope to see you. Also, our blog, which is www.anobamaworld.com, just like it sounds, anobamaworld.blogspot.com. We'll be doing free, there's, you know, there's that word again, book reviews beginning in March, ending in May. So if you have a book you'd like us to write a review, please give us a call at 866-642-9125, or you can inbox me on that very same Facebook page at my personal page, which is Clark Garrison, or go ahead and mail us a copy of your book to the publishing company, Words of a Feather Publishing, Words of a Feather Publishing, at P.O. Box 8452. That's in Atlanta, Georgia, 31106. And our blog is far-reaching with viewers in 8 different countries. Thankfully, those of you who've been following me this year, I've started something new, trying to become a little higher educated. I want to be a little more educated and have a better grasp of the English language. So I have been learning a word a week, actually a word a show as it turns out. So this week's word, or this show's word, I should say, is reciprocity. Reciprocity, which means a mutual exchange of privileges. That's what I was told. So that's my word, and perhaps our guests today will use that word. We always challenge them to throw that word out there just to show that they're ambidextrous. I know that's totally not right, but sounded good. I wanted to use that word. 101 Coaching, the Phoenix Effect. 7-day rebirth program is still aboard the ship. Now, what this is, just so you don't know, it is a chance to start over, clear your mind, get rid of the clutter in your life. It's a one-on-one coaching. It's intense. It is designed to get you started back. It beats any resolution you could possibly think of. It's called the Phoenix Effects. Those of you know, the phoenix is a bird who burnt itself up in the ashes only to be reborn. So if you are interested in any information about this, and again, that program is free, give us a call, 866-642-9125. Ooh, that was a mouthful. All right, let's get to our Survive 365 hot topic of today. Once a week, I usually throw something out that's hot in the news, and I know what you're thinking. I'm going to talk about Egypt and President Mubarak, but I'm not. Basically, I think the entire whole event is based on the U.S. presiding over a coup to have Mubarak abdicate his power in order to control the largest Arab nation in the Middle East. But you did not hear that from me. No, what I want to talk about is a little article I read, I think it was February 4th or somewhere around there this year, that over 10% of the world's population is now obese. It has been purported that we are now facing a pandemic. But guess what? No one is paying attention. Heart-related deaths are up, including diabetes and stroke. But again, no one is really paying attention. If anything, it's getting worse. How do we begin to solve this crisis? Well, for one, we've got to stop depending on the government to solve it, because it's not in their best interest to do so. Remember, our federal government is controlled by who? Lobbyists, not Congress. And these lobbyists working for the pharmaceutical companies are making more money selling drugs to continue this pandemic. You ever heard of the philosophical idiom, only the strong will survive? I know you have. Well, people, get your stuff. And I want to say something else, but this is a PG-13 show. Get your stuff together. First manage yourself, then please manage your kids. 3 out of 4 kids are obese in the United States. That's utterly ridiculous. Well, I'm off my soapbox. Listen, we're going to go to a song real quick. This is one of the songs from our special guest today, Saleh Keita, and it is titled All the Way. I hope you like it. I do. Control, let's be in the sky all the way. a native of Oakland, California, now living in the ATL. She traveled from Alabama to South Africa and everywhere else in between, singing her songs. Having wrote with and shared the stage with notables like Tony, Jaguar Wright, Ndambia, Algebra, to name but a few, she continues to take the world by storm with her amazing sultry sound. Through her self-titled debut CD, Salakita, we were introduced to her sound, a melodic mix of soul, pop, hip-hop, rock, and something she calls blippy funk. Don't worry, I'm going to ask her about that one. Her sophomore project, Resurrection, was no less a masterful follow-up CD. As she left the West Coast for the lovely, and I mean lovely today, Hotlanta, U.S. of A., welcome to our show. Please welcome the songstress, Salakita. Welcome, lady.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Isn't this one of the best days you've seen in Atlanta?
Oh, my goodness. It was today was a beautiful, beautiful day. I wasn't even supposed to be in Atlanta this weekend, but I'm so glad that I was here. And in fact, I ended up having like an impromptu photo shoot with this team that I've been wanting to shoot with for a while because it was so pretty and warm out that we could just kind of experiment and have a good time. So it was, it's a beautiful day today. This is one of the days that I'm really happy to be here.
I know. This is the day you truly, you got, I almost did a show outside. I should have just brought every, took the studio outside.
We probably should have, got a lot of attention. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'm going to jump feet first. First off the bat, what is Blippy Funk?
Blippy Funk, it's something that I kind of mostly say to myself. It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. And it's just basically, I'm from the Bay Area, and one of the things that I've noticed that's a little bit different, I'm not going to even say that. I think that we exist everywhere, but I was kind of raised, by parents who were definitely pro-black, but who were, and pro-everybody. I mean, disclaimer, not like, I don't know, whatever. I was going to say what I meant. I was raised by parents who were, pro-black, but they were also people who were love one another, love everybody, kind of on that hippie vibration. And
right.
And so I'm a product of that, and of the Bay Area where the music that I was raised on was always like a combination of so many things. And, my mom always liked hip-hop. My father always liked acid jazz. And folk and that kind of stuff. And so it's just like, it's like, okay, well, there's like, a general hippie experience, and there's this kind of like the experience you have if you're kind of like a hippie with the black experience added on to it. So it's kind of a little joke with myself that got added to my life.
No, I get you totally. Bay Area, that's the origin of the hippie movement for the most part, and musically at least. And I'm there with you. Black hippie funk, I like it.
Yeah, I always say I was born in the wrong time. I should have been there. I should have been there in the 60s.
this might be just your second life, so you actually probably were born and was a teenager in the hippie movement, so.
I wonder, right? Yeah, I'll go with it. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Now, for those who've been locked up in a soundproof room with absolutely no music in sight, tell our listeners who is Salakita.
I'm an Oakland girl. I'm influenced by Prince. Minnie Riperton, Joni Mitchell, and Gangstar. So if you can imagine what all of that kind of sounds like, But like I said, I grew up definitely with hip hop in the house, definitely of that generation. But I play guitar, and I believe in strong melodies. I try to write songs that will reach people in a positive way, but in a real way too, because those are the songs. I try to do what other people have done, those artists that I named, like Prince or Minnie or Johnny, they and Shaka and, you know, so many artists. I try to do what they did for me, which was reach me, like whether or give voice to my feelings. That's what I do with my work. That's what I'm working on doing. I won't know until you guys tell me if I've succeeded at it.
Well, you have definitely set the tone, the pace. I love your music, by the way.
Oh, now, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, outside of, we're going to get back to the influences in your musical life, but outside of music, what inspires you?
Life inspires. I mean, how can you wake up and, you know, even just, I am inspired by life. But I'm definitely inspired by love. It's funny, you know, here we are the day before Valentine's Day. I'm definitely a hopeless romantic, you know. I would say hopeless, but I'm to the heart. I'm, you know, like the sappy love song or, you know, love story person. I write about a lot of things, but a lot of songs, a lot of situations that I'm inspired by are come from like love, either like relationships that I've experienced or things that I've observed or like kind of picked up, you know, in the ethers from, you know, like this is how people are feeling about this, you know, in this type of situation. And it kind of manifests into a song, or sometimes I'll look back on a song and realize that it came from something I was going through and I didn't even realize it. Because, you know, I don't think most songwriters that really take too much credit for writing, you know, people who make music, I don't think we can really take too much credit for what we do. I mean, we're the particular channel that source chooses to use, you know, but it's,
right.
I think through the day, sometimes I don't know where it comes from, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm being used, you know.
Yeah, you just tapped into the universe.
Yeah.
Now, I've followed your career a bit, and you are by far no overnight success. You put in some serious hours to get to where you are.
Oh, yeah. I've been singing since I was a troubled teen. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. This is going to flow right into it. So I want you to tell us, what type of journey has it been for you, both creatively and emotionally?
Creatively... creatively, it's been an awesome journey. I feel like going back to that inspiration thing, it's funny to like hear things and realize, oh, that influenced me, or I remember when I first heard that, or I remember playing with these people, or I remember what I learned from this person or that person. So creatively, like, the journey has been awesome. I've had the privilege of working with some really great and talented people, some famous, some not, but all, like, really great, talented people that I've learned from, even when I didn't know I was learning. So it's been awesome. I've had so many different musical chapters, you know. It's so fun. I remember reading... about Mariah Carey, you know, when she came out, you know, she was like 19, and people were like, oh, you're an overnight success. And she was like, I'm not an overnight success. I've been preparing for this, you know, forever. And but I think, you know, like wherever, when people, you know, like when the majority of the people, you know, finally get to hear you, when you have like a world stage, if you will, you know, that's their first introduction to you, but you've been having a life and a journey and a career that whole time. They're just meeting you at this point in your journey, you know? So it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know the music industry can be crucial at times. So has it been an emotional roller coaster for you?
Yes, it has been. At times when I didn't understand my own power, whenever I've started to surrender my power over myself, or even over my power to choose what I'm doing or not doing, those are the moments when I get stuck or get confused or feel like, what am I doing, but when I realign myself with my purpose, kind of, and my power, which we all have, then I don't feel, everything, there's a way, like there's nothing that's impossible, and anything that you want, you can have. I truly believe that. And sometimes we step off of our path for whatever reason, reasons that we may not consciously be aware of, or maybe there's things you have to work out, get ready. Maybe it's the timing is not right, or maybe there's some people I've met on my journey who I realize only want a certain level of success, and that's kind of given me a different perspective as well. That it's life is a choose your own adventure novel, kind of. So, however it's going down is my choice, and I'm not negating the difficulties of the industry. It's just that's just like saying for me to get all off into that would be just like saying, people shouldn't run track. I don't know. You get what I'm saying. It's like everything has its pluses and minuses, or its particular set of obstacles, or not obstacles, challenges. And
right.
The music industry is unique only because it's for artists a lot of times it's purely emotional and creative, where if you're working a 9-to-5 job, I'm just coming in here to get this money. I might kind of like this job, but generally I took a job to get money. I remember I got my first background singing check when I was 17. I was like, oh, you're paying me to do this? So,
That's got to be mind blowing to be paid to do something like that you love to do.
I consider it a privilege,
Well, I talk a lot about on this show and whenever I speak about circles of influences, and I know we kind of talked a little bit about who has influenced your music, Joni Mitchell, Prince, Minnie Riperton, to name a few. Who has been in your inner circle tangibly that has been an influence on your music career?
One of my writing partners, True James, we had a band together called Selmecca. He definitely was an influence. I think I maybe influenced him with like I've always been a lyricist and had melodies and that kind of thing, but he helped me to really listen to each instrument in the music. Dwayne Wiggins, actually, he was when I was a teenager, he made me understand what it was to tag a hook. Okay, you got all these lovely ideas, and things you're singing about. But
Right. You
got to bring it back home with that hook. I would write, he would let me record for some reason. I don't know. He'd let me record song after song after song. And he'd come in and
wow.
He'd be like, oh, I like that, Then he might go in and put something that I would never have thought of. Okay, it just needs one thing, and it might just be. Now, one thing he used to do that was crazy to me was he would, every song he would say, you know, go on there and go, I want to do something freaky to you. I want to do some freakity, which was like a joke. I don't know why he would do that, but basically, I think it was just to remind, remind us of, just to, put something on there that is going to bring people, that people will remember and kind of get people back to what you were trying to sum up the song, sum up the message of the song. I've learned from so many people. I've learned a lot from every guitar player I've ever worked with. The Nye Rebel Front, that Combe. He was awesome. Brandon Thomas here in Atlanta. I always loved rock music, but he introduced me to metal in a way where it didn't just sound like metal to me. He helped me hear music in it. So many people. Baby James, a great songwriter. I don't know. You guys probably haven't heard. This is a good opportunity to shout out all the people you should know about.
That's what we're doing. We're giving some shout outs for you know, helping you become the person you are musically.
Yeah, Baby James and Alibaba. Who else? I already said Trey. Alan Anthony. Ricardo Love. Yoshimi Wilson. He was from New York, so he was a producer I worked with. We did a song on my first album called Everybody Lies, and he had a different energy, you know, being from the East Coast, you know, the West Coast was like, and it was like, yo, you know, you got to try to, you know what I'm saying, you know, like, he would just, his approach was different, you know, but it was a good experience to work with somebody who thought differently. I absorb from everybody I meet. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm done with that,
I know, you talk a lot about guitar. Is that your main instrument?
That's the primary instrument that I write with. I love the guitar. I love the guitar. It's such a bittersweet instrument, you know.
I've always wanted to know how to play. It just seems so complicated.
It's not really. But it's not as easy as, which is why I don't call myself a guitarist, because I know what a guitarist is. I've been around great guitarists. And the key to, you know, guitar or, you know, keys or anything like that is discipline and hard work, you know, like as far as practicing. Like, you got to practice. It's about muscle memory as much as it is about having a great ear, I think, with it. But I love the guitar. It's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, especially acoustic. I'm a fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Way
need
back
electric
to the
in your life, too.
Some who?
Some electric. You know, get some distortion.
You know, I'm getting old, sister. You know, when you get older, the noise level, tolerance, is just, it goes down, you know. But
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well, I want to ask you, have you always been a writer? Is that something you started out doing, or is it something you picked up along the way?
No, I didn't even know I was going to want to write songs. What happened is my first manager, when he was taking me around to people to get, you know, and I'd always, like, written stories and stuff, like, when I was, like, a kid prior to that, you know, in school and stuff. But my first manager, he was taking me around to different producers and writers that he knew to put together, like, a package. And I didn't like the songs that they were writing for me. And I think the last straw for me was this one producer. We were talking about how, you know, sometimes when you're, like, as a young lady, when you're walking down the street, you know, you don't want to be rude and ignore, you know, like a brother might try to talk to you. You don't want to be rude, but it's all in the approach at the same time. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it can little bit border on something that's disrespectful, that you don't really want to, you don't want to honor that or give energy to that either, you know, to somebody's, like, bad behavior, you know.
Right.
So we had this beautiful conversation about how we were going to write a song that addressed that, and then he came back, he was like, I got the hook, and excuse my language, but the hook was, you know, gangsta love, niggas and thugs. I want to get with you, but I can't go for the okie doke. And I just was like, I was like, you know what? Whatever I come up with is is going to kill that.
Oh, wow.
That's it. I'm done. You know, I'm done. And so I just start trying my hand at writing what I was hearing in my head all along anyway. And it worked out, and people ended up liking my writing more than my singing at one point. So, you know,
multifaceted.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play one of your songs, "Dream." Tell us a bit. Go ahead and tell us a bit about this song, so you know, lead us into it.
Oh, this song is about finding the love of your dreams and not letting. Any negative experiences you may have had in the past, not dragging your bag. You know how Erykah Badu said, you know, you don't want to be a bag lady. You know, there's a lot of bag men out there too. You know, you don't want to be bag people dragging our baggage into a beautiful relationship and blocking our blessings.
Right.
I wrote this song at a time when I met somebody who was just like, this can't be real, you know, like, this is only in your dreams that you can have this kind of feeling for someone. And I was like, no, I got to shake that off. So that, you know, it's real if you want it to be real. That's just what this song is about. It's about living life of your dreams, having the love of your dreams, allowing yourself to.
Well, perfect. That's a perfect segue to Valentine's Day. So,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, dream. That was "Dreams" by Salakita. Salakita, I love that song. You know, I've been playing your music all day today.
Oh, yay!
My favorite we're going to play last, so you guys, you know, hold on for that one. My favorite is we're going to close the house. We're going to shut down the house with that one.
Okay.
Now, back to you. You performed on stage with so many great singers. You've mentioned a few. We've mentioned a few. Dwayne Wiggins, Tony, Kenny Lattimore, and Dombe. As we noted in the intro and what we talked about. But who would you like to do a duet with that you haven't worked with yet?
Probably Rafael Sadiq. I used to have the biggest crush on him. Oh my god! From like childhood to, you know, like teens and everything. So I don't know why that hasn't happened, but I would love to do a duet with him. Chris Cornell. Serge from System of a Down. That man has such a beautiful voice. I think that would be a really cool collaboration.
You're speaking all of this into the universe, so you know it's going to happen soon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Call it out.
Yeah, and so what are some things about the industry that you know now that you didn't know when you first dove in?
What do I know now that I didn't know when I first dove in? There's so many things. I don't know if I'm at liberty to share them all, but
I'm sorry, this is Blog Talk Radio.
One thing that I knew and then I lost and then I know again now is that the industry, the music business is a business. So it's everything that you would think of when you think of any other business. So your expectations shouldn't really be different, you know. Is your work supposed to, you know, tug on people's emotions? Yes, you know, but is there a demand for it? Are you creating, is there already a demand for it? Or if there isn't, then you got to create a demand for it. It's like any other product. Nobody really likes to look at themselves as a product, but it's kind of fun. Like once you like wrap yourself around it, as long as you like what you're selling, you know?
Right.
And you have to also, you know, I think that in the middle of my career, as if I'm at the end of it, but I think in the middle of my career, started to feel a little, just lost sight of that a little bit. And you have to, I definitely think you have to live in your time. There's so many things that are like, wanting to come out right now. I think that's the most important part of it as an artist. And as an artist who, it's been important to me to remain true to my vision. I understand I haven't faltered from that, but I understand now that because this is a business, you got to figure out a way to sell it because it's a product at the end of the day. It's not just, you don't get to touch millions of people just because you want it to. You need to be answering the call of the universe or what people are asking for, you know. In your way, though. I'm not saying, like, sell your soul at all, because I don't believe that that's necessary and that's a choice. People don't have to do that, I don't think. But you do have to figure out what you're selling and sell it, you know, just like anything else. Just like if you invented Post-its, you know, People invented Post-its. There hadn't been Post-its before, so it was a hard sell, I'm sure. You know? And they had to figure
look
out.
Look at them now.
Huh? And look at them now. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, my follow-up question, I think you answered it, but I'll ask it anyway. What one thing would you, I guess, tell a newbie starting out? We've got somebody on the line or listening at their home on computer right now and thinking about getting in this industry. What is the one thing that you can share with them that they need to know starting out?
I would tell them to listen to everything, but don't ingest any of it, you know. allow people to help you, but don't let what anyone says to you define you one way or another. Kind of keep your own standards and be a sponge. Don't ever think that you can't learn more. And treat yourself like a business, and treat yourself like you're a big deal, because you are. Never stop doing that. Don't ever, you know, it's funny, because I started on a profession, or I should say I started in the mainstream, you know, as a background singer, and then transitioned once I decided, hey, I want to do this myself, and start going the indie route, sometimes the standards are not the same, you know, but you have to maintain standards. You're still a professional. It's still a business. You're still a big deal. This is still important work that you're doing. And if you treat yourself that way, then you'll reap benefits. If you treat yourself like, oh, I'm just doing, you know, I'm just over here at the coffee house, and you'll just be over there at the coffee house. You know, that will be the reality. Everything you do is important and special. So, you know, treat it that way, you know, and know that this moment is really just that, just a moment.
Yeah, your perception becomes your reality.
Yeah. Mhm.
What do you think about Idol?
What do I think about Idol?
The show, the American Idol show.
Oh. I don't know. I don't watch that. I'm not quite sure what it. You know, I don't know if I can give an informed. I mean, I know all about it. I know what it is.
Cool. So you've never really paid attention to the show that much, right? And it's been out 10 years.
No, I watched the year one of my friends was on, Latoya London, the year that, like, Fantasia, and so I watched it, like, that year. I don't know.
She was, one of the top five, right?
Yeah, yep. Oakland, yep. Yeah.
Oh.
I watched it that year. Other than that, it's just a TV show, you know. And I think I don't know. They have something they're looking. I'm not quite sure, you know. I'm not kind of a conspiracy theorist. So I don't even know if, like, you know, is it really like people voting for these artists or. You know, I'm not quite sure. I don't know enough about the show to say, you know. But I know that year, you know, they had a lot of great talent, and it seemed like it hasn't really been that way since then. But I could be wrong. See, I'm just saying stuff. I really don't know. I don't know.
No, this is
I mean, I would hear people. I hear people, you know, talk about how American Idol is, you know, fake or you know, terrible. But then I know some people who love American Idol. There was a this older guy who worked for DirecTV, and he was an Idol fanatic, and like it brought him. He was a music lover, but he loved that show. It brought him such joy. In fact, he ended up introducing me to a really great producer. This guy named Timothy Bloom, who's doing really well now. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's I guess it's just like a fun show for people who want to get into that, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't mind plastic things, it's fun, you know, I just think there needs to be room for everything, you know, there's a time and a place for everything.
I said that's interesting. I ask a lot of singers, you know, creative artists about the show, and I get the same response. Most of them are indifferent. You know, they can take it or leave it, or like yourself, they haven't watched it much. Yet America is fascinated beyond belief with it. So it just shows you the differences between perspectives. You know, someone who's in the industry already doing it versus, you know, just kind of the layman out there watching it.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, different people, like, I don't really watch TV that much, so pretty much anything you ask me about, you know, I probably would be like, what? Yeah, there's that with me, because I know people who work in the industry who are very tuned into American Idol. If only because it's like, okay, who's going to win? Because I want to try to get a song in there, or, you know, whatever, like, from a business perspective. And so I think, you know, if it's really, if it really works the way that it's supposed to work, then I guess it's not a bad, you know, like, I think it's great. And like I said, Ed, you know, that guy, Ed, he loved that show. It brought him, like, such joy. It was, like, something he looked forward to all year until it came back on, you know?
Wow.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, but for me, I know that a lot of the artists that I admire probably wouldn't have won American Idol. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to ask about your CD, The Resurrection. I know it's a powerful CD. I look at it as a hodgepodge of different styles of songs. Are you symbolic of that hodgepodge?
I am, yeah. That this album probably is, it's so me. You know, it starts out with, you know, kind of, you know, Kiss the Sky, which is like a funky kind of rock-influenced song. Then it goes to the straight-up rock on The Resurrection, you know, which is a heartbreak song. Because I was going through heartbreak in many ways while I was recording this album. Then you go to, like, just an acoustic song, and then you go to, you know, an R&B song, or, you know, but I'm all those things. I think it's cohesive, though, because I don't know, or maybe it's just cohesive to me because I wrote it, but to me, it all makes sense. To me, it all makes sense, and it's lovely, and I think people can relate to it because I don't think I'm the only person out there who, I think the different songs express different emotions or different feelings, I should say, and I don't think I'm the only person out there who feels different from moment to moment. You might listen to country, or, you know, there might be something about you that I would never suspect from one meeting, you know, with you.
Right.
You know, so
right.
This album
right.
is kind of like giving you, like, 14 meetings with me versus just one, you know?
Wow.
Like,
wow.
And, you know,
seeing
me, seeing me in 14 different, under, you know, different scenarios, you know, instead of just having one meeting, you know, giving you my all on this one.
Wow. So how has technology helped you as an indie artist in spreading your voice to the world?
Technology is awesome. It's been the basis of my selling CDs and getting people knowing about me. You know, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, good old-fashioned word of mouth and playing out, but social media, having a home online, you know, having a website or interacting on Facebook. I mean, that's how, you know, I met you. I don't know how you heard
right.
about me, but how we were introduced to each other.
Right.
It's
absolutely
really helpful. You can just reach out and touch just about anybody using the internet, at least for now. but you know, Prince said the internet is dead. No, I'm kidding. But,
never.
Huh?
I don't think that's ever going to happen in our lifetime.
Well, I hope not. But if it does, then you know maybe we'll have to revert to old-fashioned things like, you know, talking to each other and developing in-person social skills, you know, learning how to hold a conversation.
Oh, heaven forbid, that stuff is played out.
I know. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, we don't even want to learn cursive writing anymore, so we're not going to learn that.
Oh, wow, I hadn't heard that. Wow, really?
Yeah, they're trying to take it out the school system as a, you know, why should we learn this? We're not going to use it anymore, so, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
But I digress. So tell us, what's on tap for you in 2011?
I've got a lot of things. I'm working on a fitness video right now, which is very exciting. For me, because I've, in addition to singing for pretty much all of my life, I've been a dancer, publicly and privately, mostly privately, in the last few years. But I really have one of my biggest reasons for pushing forward is it's to inspire other people, and in particular, little girls and women. Because I feel like we're assaulted on so many levels every day. Everybody is, but this is just who I'm sensitive to,
right.
To the needs of. And so it's an all sizes exercise video. It's going to be really diverse, and I'm really excited about that. I'm going to try to have it ready for Fitness Month, which is May. We're going to re-release the Resurrection. Right now it's only available online. And I'm actually going to re-release it with some additional songs as a physical copies of it. So I'm really excited about that, because when I did the Resurrection, I did a bunch of songs and whittled it down to just a few. But I've decided that I'm just going to give the complete body of work, you know, the whole inspiration that came package that. I'm not going to raise the price of the CD. I just want people to get the whole story of the Resurrection. So I'm excited about that. There's a couple things that I cannot speak of right now that I'm excited about.
You got something in the cooker.
I have something in the cooker, yes. I have a couple pots going right now. Yeah, I do.
I want you to go ahead and give out your website. I want people to be able to connect with you, and also to you still have your Resurrection soft copy on there, right? So they can download that as well as your first CD.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to download a copy. I think you'll love the album. And if you love it, then, you know, just show that you do by buying one.
Right.
And it keeps me going, literally and figuratively, you know, spiritually and, you know, tangibly. It's money makes
right.
It go around, you know. my website is www.salakida, and that's spelled SALAKIDA.com. And you can also reach me on Facebook and Twitter. It's just facebook.com/salakidamusic and twitter.com/salakida. And again, that's SALAKIDA.
Well, perfect. And promise you'll come back in May when your fitness video is releasing, so we can talk about that as well.
I definitely will love to do that.
Well, I have some rapid-fire questions we ask every guest when it's their first time on the show. It's six questions, one word answers.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
What is your favorite word?
Love.
What is your least favorite word?
Boo.
What?
I,
back on
me.
No, huh? That's going to be it. That's,
okay.
That little grunt is going to be your least favorite word.
Okay. All right.
What is your favorite thing to do here in Atlanta?
Sweet.
West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast.
That's what's up. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Graphic artist. No.
And, no?
Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I don't know.
Okay, graphic artist. That's what your next life's going to be. Okay. And last but not least, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You did good. Don't worry. I told you.
You made it through. See, that wasn't difficult.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have had a fantastic time hanging out with you, Salakita.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed my time, too. I can't believe it's over.
I know. You know, good stuff always happens in short quantities, so time flies when it does. Well, make sure you come back. We're excited.
I will.
And I know I want to keep up with you. And by all means, if you got anything that's dropping or you got some event, hit me up. I'd love to promote it and put you, do my part in spreading the good news.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Clark, so much.
Thank you. Well, we're going to end by going to another one of your cuts, my favorite, Heart Attack.
Oh,
not that I want to have, not that I want to have one, but, you knew some words, folks, hit it. You want to give us a final tidbit on this song?
This is the first single from The Resurrection. It was produced by an awesome artist who you can support now, actually. In addition to supporting me, you can support him. He's got a song that you may have heard on Z103 called Till the End of Time. That's awesome. It's a beautiful duet. And, written with so many artists and given so much, and I'm really happy to have worked with him before he started charging too much. And you can definitely hear the Prince influence in this song. We literally wrote it in, like, I don't know, 15 minutes. And recorded it in maybe an hour and a half. It was really a really fun, easy session. The song's called Heart Attack, produced by Timothy Bloom. And you can go on Z103 and request his song Till the End of Time. And that'll be my way of paying him back for making this awesome song for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic tribute. And, again, thank you. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Conversation. And this is Salakita, Heart Attack.
I woke up with some song in my head.
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get out of here. And as usual, we end with a little Elvis. What a special thanks to our lovely guest today, Salakita Kali, her amazing voice. Be sure to be on the lookout for The Art of Being a Gentleman, All Male Event, February 26th. Shout out to my members of African Divide in America. Kalaki Taylor. Oh, well, the powers who I met yesterday. Big up. Shout out to my boy Mike McFadden in the house. Doing what he do. Real talk. All day long. Shout out to my homeboys in Jacksonville. Real Wayne's in the house. My boy Lance in Detroit. I'm going to try to come up there, man. I'm really going to try to make that difference. Well, I hope to see you guys soon as always. Got to take this home. Serious mess in the house. You can kill me if I don't. Wednesday show at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our guest will be Mr. Aquarius Williams of Q Talk. Takes me a while to track this young lady down, but she'll be on. But for now, remember, if you lose your life casually, man, you'll end up in casualty. I'm gone. Talking.